It's a warm July evening in Nordheim, a town of 300, about 75 miles southeast of San Antonio. Neighbors are gathering at the old dance hall, the Nordheim Shooting Club. But this isn't for an evening of boot scootin'. They're here to organize against what they see as an environmental threat to their town and their way of life. Two massive fracking disposal sites, one as large as 200 acres, the other 575 acres, are being proposed for right outside of town. The community has organized to pool their resources and show solidarity to fight the state's permitting of the pits.
Well, I think the bottom line is this.
Jim Fulbright is a local rancher, and he's helping lead the meeting.
They're going to dump liquid oil field waste. Ben, all of the chemicals that has to do with fracking, all the chemicals that have to do with just oil field drilling, not necessarily fracking. And they have these byproducts of drilling that are not reusable, not recyclable. They have to do something with it. And I got no problem with them doing something with it, but I just don't want them doing it in my yard. And that's basically what they are here.
The purpose of tonight's meeting was to figure out a strategy for when they have a hearing with the Texas Railroad Commission, the regulatory agency for all things oil and natural gas in Texas. The residents of Nordheim hope the commission will recognize that the waste pits will essentially kill their town. The 200-acre plot would be just a quarter mile from the town. The waste facility would have up to 8 open pits lined with plastic and 25 feet deep. The pits are open to the air, and the fracking waste is allowed to evaporate, and the toxic chemicals are oxidized by the sunlight. What's left behind is a thick, viscous goop that's mixed in with the soil and then left there.
And so all of this, these volatile chemicals are putting these pits to evaporate. When they're letting these things mature, for lack of a better word, these fumes are going into the air. And if you've ever been around an oil rig or one of these waste dumps, there ain't no Chanel number 5 there. It all stinks.
It doesn't just stink. The EPA and others have found that the fumes contain chemicals known to be hazardous to human health, including volatile organic compounds like benzene. But because oil and gas waste is exempt from federal hazardous waste regulations, most states, like Texas, don't require monitoring of waste pit air emissions. It's impossible to know whether the chemicals drifting into the air or at levels that could affect human health, and air quality isn't even a consideration in the permitting process. Nordheim is in DeWitt County, close to Karnes and Gonzales counties, the most productive areas in the Eagle Ford Shale play. Drive along the highway and you'll spot multiple oil drill rig sites and giant flares burning off unwanted natural gas and wastewater injection wells where produced water from fracking is pushed deep underground. But you'll also see the benefits of the Eagle Ford boom, new construction, commerce, and evidence that mineral rights owners are getting big checks and investing that new wealth back into their land and putting up new fences and fancy ranch gates.
I am not against fracking. I am not against the oil and gas industry. It's necessary. The country needs the energy. The state is deriving a lot of revenue out of this, and the local people here are getting some revenue, granted. But we don't want this thing where they're proposing to locate it.
But it's the location that makes sense from the perspective of the business that's building the waste facility. The site has close proximity to the major activity in the Eagle Ford Shale play and good highway access. Nordheim sits on State Highway 72, one of the major east-west thoroughfares of the Eagle Ford, and that's what appeals to George Womack, the CEO of San Antonio-based Petro Waste Environmental. That's the company that wants to build the fracking waste pits.
It's very similar to a municipal landfill, like a trash landfill, and so that's historically, a lot of drill cuttings, the crushed up rock that comes out of a well when you're drilling it, were just buried in pits on the lease site. Now that it's shifted into horizontal drilling with oil-based muds, that has to be dealt with differently. So it needs to be in a put in a place where you can monitor it. You have to be able to check for leaks. So you have to know that the integrity of the liner in the disposal pit is there. You have leak detection systems, secondary liners, tertiary clay liners. It's more highly engineered, a safer, more regulated environment that we're operating in.
On this day, Womack is representing his company at the Doug Eagle Ford Conference in San Antonio, a gathering of about 4,500 oil industry professionals. There are millions of dollars in business deals happening all around the expo, and Womack was there pitching his services as an oil field waste processor.
Yeah, so all of this drilling has a massive amount of byproduct, drilling waste product that has to be handled in an environmentally responsible manner. So that's what creates the need for our services to be a big, well-capitalized company who can come in and do this the right way and make sure it's safe and handled properly.
Womack makes the point that one of the biggest health and safety problems for the Eagle Ford Shale is traffic fatalities. There are too many big rigs sharing the roads with drivers, and traffic deaths have dramatically increased in the area. And putting the waste disposal site closer to the hub of activity would cut down on miles driven by the trucks and actually save lives. However, people like Lynn Jansen, who live around Nordheim, don't think that just because of their location, they should become collateral damage for the Eagle Ford boom.
It's not fair, and it's not moral to do this to your neighbor.
In Jansen's garage, she has set up multiple posters on easels with satellite photographs of the area where the waste pits will be built and images of other waste pits. She uses the posters to explain the peril of Nordheim.
Be right on the creek. See, the Smith Creek goes like this.
She also helped organize Nordheim into the group Concerned About Pollution, or CAP. Jansen is a retired school teacher, but late in life, she found a new calling. She is a reluctant environmental activist.
Never in my wildest dream did I think I'd have anything like this, because people go away to make money, and then they... Some of them come back here because of the quiet, the peace, the rest, and that you could have here. Only in small towns across Texas is that possible.
But Jansen admits it's a David versus Goliath challenge. She's heard the stories of how the Railroad Commission is beholden to the oil industry for campaign contributions and is known to cave to industry pressure.
Those stories are quite prevalent now. That's a entrenched idea. But on the other hand, if we still believe in democracy and people doing the right thing, you just have to hope and pray that they will, in this case, do the right thing.
3 months after the Nordheim gathering, there's another meeting for the neighbors. This time it's in Austin at the Railroad Commission. About 30 residents of Nordheim chartered a bus and took the 150-mile trip to Austin to plead their case.
Now, I'm just going to kind of let this thing self-regulate. I mean, we're all kind of adults here. We've been through the public schools. So I'm going to open that microphone to 3-minute statements of position. So we've already got one taker. Come on, man.
They didn't get to face the commissioners, but instead, one by one, they stood before a hearing examiner. They explained how the proposed waste pits would contaminate their water wells and pollute nearby creeks.
My name is Howard Ann Bauman. We have 36 acres of land that's adjacent to the proposed site. We have 150 feet deep water well. It is 60 feet from the property line of the proposed waste facility.
Good morning. My name is Gail Tisdale. My husband and I own 54 acres that is bordered by Smith Creek. All of the toxins that are allowed in and out of the facility, because they talk about mechanical failure or human error, and those things are going to run into the creeks.
Morning. I'm Kevin Stera. I live on Home Road as well, just short of this proposed site. Say, I live on 42 acres. I have a wife and a daughter. One comment on the way. I also work in the oil field. I am not anti-drilling, but I understand places like this are necessary. But like others said, there are places for this. This isn't one of them. The topography just isn't there. The runoff water that comes from this site comes a lot to my stock ponds across my property. It's not a if, it's a when will something happen. Can you guarantee no human error, no mechanical error? That's not a guarantee I think anybody can make. There is a similar plant like this in Grandma, Louisiana. I work offshore, so I have seen this plant from a distance. The roads are nasty. The little community that's around there, people are filled with cancer. Kids are being born with birth defects, stillborns. It's a god-awful thing. The mission statement, as far as the Railroad Commission, I do like that. And it does bring a little sense of security where it says, our concern for personal and community safety. This will definitely hamper my future, as me and my wife intended on starting and raising our family there. You know, I'm still a young man, 40. My wife is 36. I have one daughter, one on the way. But this is going to change things for us. Other than that, in the end, hope the good Lord prevails, because in the end, he will be the ultimate judge of everybody. Thank you.
Also at the hearing, Republican State Representative Jeannie Morrison. She said the state needs these facilities, but...
I have no delusions. I know how my district has benefited from the Eagle Ford Shell, as well as the rest of the state has. I also know that with prosperity does come challenges. But I am here today to share my opposition and concern shared by the people of Nordheim. I fully recognize that there is a need for the facilities we are talking about at this hearing. I'm not naive that we will always be confronted with the not in my backyard position. Understandable, but this is truly in the backyard of the entire city of Nordheim. There are regulations that may or may not be met to fulfill what this facility has been required to meet. It might make business sense, but I have yet to see that it makes logical sense for this community.
But as the residents of Nordheim had their say, so did the company that is proposing the pits, Petro Waste Environmental. John Soule is their attorney.
The application seeks, and the draft permit that has been circulated by the staff, seek permission, authorize the disposal at this facility, if the permit is issued, of only non-hazardous oil and gas waste that is subject to the Railroad Commission's jurisdiction. Specifically, the application did not seek, and the draft permit specifically prohibits this facility from receiving any oil and gas waste, any waste that is EPA hazardous waste, any waste that is considered and defined by EPA and others as industrial waste, anything that is defined as norm waste. The waste that will be received is RCRA, or Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, exempt oil and gas waste, by definition non-hazardous and subject to the Railroad Commission's jurisdiction.
Soule's argument for the permitting hinged on that the oil field waste going into the pits would be non-hazardous. He stressed that point five times in the first 2 minutes of his presentation.
Only non-hazardous oil and gas waste subject to the Commission's jurisdiction would be received and disposed of at this facility.
So how can it be that the oil waste pits can be emitting toxic fumes that are linked to causing cancer if the waste is non-hazardous? It comes down to a loophole in the federal government's designation of oil field waste. Congress in 1988 passed an exemption saying the waste that comes from the oil fields is non-hazardous, even if it actually is.
It's entirely a matter of politics.
Ernest Smith literally wrote the book, the textbook on oil and gas law. He's a specialist in the area. He teaches it at the University of Texas Law School.
The oil and gas companies had sufficient pull that they were able to get it classified as non-hazardous.
But Smith says this exemption won't last forever. He says pressure is building on the federal government to do something about it, to fix it. That would mean no more open pits for toxic drilling waste, but instead there would have to be a more expensive but more environmentally sensitive processing method. But don't expect that to come in time to help the people of Nordheim. Since the hearing with the Railroad Commissioner's examiner, the residents of Nordheim have been waiting. The examiner will release his proposal for decision. Then both sides have an opportunity to comment on those findings. Then that'll go to the three members of the Railroad Commission, and they will vote on the permitting process. All of that's expected to happen sometime in 2015.